Well, this Sunday's that unusual one in between the crossing of years. And I want to kind of stay in theme a little bit with that today and just speak a message on crossing over into 2026. It's that moment that's in between. It's a weird crossing over moment that has no real heavenly relevance, yet on earth can provide a point of contact for each of us to leave and arrive, step out and step into. Now, I don't know about you, I've always been a man of resolutions, New Year's resolutions. Have I kept them all? Not often. Significant ones I have. And when we look at this moment of crossing from 25 to 26, it's another moment of transition, isn't it? It's a moment where we feel ourselves moving from one experience to another. Like I said, it hasn't got any heavenly relevance. God's not sitting up there today ripping the 2025 calendar off of his fridge saying, isn't it great that 2026 is coming? This doesn't affect heaven because heaven's eternal. But for us, it can be a point of contact. It can be a moment. It can be the hem of a garment. It can be a moment of decision, a moment of choice, where we purpose. There's some things about what we knew in 2025, some baggage that we're not going to bring with us into 2026. So Wednesday, we go to bed and it's 2025. And then Thursday, we wake up and it's 2026. I've got my days right. I know Christmas can be one big blur of days and moments, can't it? Now, the reality is the moment has no power other than what we give it. Like I said, it has no heavenly relevance. God's eternal. God's not saying, come on, angels, let's sing goodbye yesterday to 2025. We will later on today. We're going to sing goodbye yesterday. But heaven is settled in eternity. For us who are managing this gift of life called living, real time, birth and death and everything in between, it can be a really significant moment where we say, you know what? I liked this about 25, so it's going to come with me in 26. But also we can say, I'm not happy with this in 2025, or I want more than I've known in 2025. So in this moment, called New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, the crossing of a year, I purpose to step out and step into, to leave, but also to arrive. Now, even though this is a moment that holds no power other than what we give it, I believe that God will meet us in it if we're operating in faith. So it's not a heavenly moment, it's an earthly moment. It's a moment where people make New Year's resolutions, New Year's decisions, New Year's choices that take over every aspect of our life, like I will go to the gym in this next year, or I will go more. I've been a member for 20 years, but I'm actually going to go now. I'm not eating that food anymore. I'm now going to be a health nut. I mean, I'm an eccentric by nature. Ask Gina, she's had to live with me for all these years, 32 years now. When I do anything, I have to do it full on. That's why I love that my son-in-law is the same wiring. It's like we can't do anything mediocre. We can't do anything gently. We have to boots on the ground. So when I look at my appetites in the coming year, I'm like, no, I am going, oh, by February, you won't recognize me. Choices, decisions. Now, there's other choices and decisions not involving food, clothing, style, exercise, that involve us saying, God, will you meet me in this moment? And I believe when we involve faith, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When he returns, will he find faith on the earth? When we approach certain things by faith, I believe he does meet us in that moment. When the woman by faith reached out for the hem of a garment, God met her in that moment and a healing broke out. When the shadows of the disciples came through the marketplace and people laid there sick in the shadows, miracles broke out. Why? God was meeting people in points of crossing over, in points of reaching out, in points of making significant decisions. Now, when we want God to meet us in our moments of transition, we know he was the God of 2025. We know he's the God of 2026. He's not on the journey with us. He's there waiting for us. He's outside of time and space. God is self-created, self-sustaining. He needs nothing from anyone to exist. He's at the beginning, he's at the end. He's outside of linear time or any time management we've been taught to live by. God is God. Endless. Omega, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Now, whenever we look for a crossing over, a moving out and a moving into, it involves twofold faith. It takes faith to step out, not just to step in. It takes faith to let go, not just to take hold. So often when we talk about God meeting us in moments of faith, moments of crossing over, crossing from, crossing into, we look at by faith we step into. By faith we take hold of. But wait a moment, you've missed one moment of faith in that journey. It takes faith to leave. It takes faith to let go. It takes faith to walk away from things that gave you security, identity, purpose. It takes faith to step out. But then it also takes faith to step in. So I'm praying over you that you would know faith, not just to step in and take hold of, but faith to leave things that are no longer a part of your life. You see, the Bible says we go from glory to glory. We live by faith and we're in movement from glory to glory, not greater glory to lesser glory. God always gets big. He's a God of big endings, amen. See, Abraham, who we've been studying recently, he modeled a faith that was faith for leaving, but also then faith for arriving. Abraham, his faith started with leaving faith. Think about that moment. You know, as I've been sharing a moment with Gina and we've been saying, wait a moment, we're leaving everything we've done for 28 years. We're leaving the support we've known. We look at each other and we smile because we feel God's in it. Yet that doesn't make it less scary sometimes. When you begin to think practically, wait a moment, everything in January and February is going to change in our life. Yet we know God's authoring it. But it takes faith to say, let's do it. Let's do it. Not just faith to step in and say, here we come. I want to celebrate your leaving, not just your arriving. I want you to have thankfulness in the heart for where you've come from, but expectancy of faith for what's next. You know, there's a lot of people that are moving in this transition, Stuart and Carla, in a movement themselves. They're leaving a moment where they've been executive pastors and stepping now into being senior pastors of Family Church as a whole. Sean and Paula are stepping out of one experience of leading church into, it's not just me and Gina, there's a whole lot of moving going on in this moment. But may faith be at the center of it all, amen. The simple truth is you can't arrive until you leave. You won't arrive in the new until you leave the old. You won't experience the next until you say goodbye to what you've known. Faith for tomorrow turns your head and sets your face for the next. See, you know whether you've got faith for tomorrow if you feel your face being set for the next and your head being turned for that which is yet unknown. Now, Paul gave us encouragement with this, with his words from Paul didn't make it to the Philippines, but he did to the Philippians. Listen to what he says. This is what he's saying to us today through this timeless text. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He was a man on a pilgrimage. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's screaming, what's behind me is great, but I can't die knowing there was more in front of me. So by faith, I let go of the good, the bad, and the ugly to take hold of the good, bad, and ugly of the next season that awaits. Then he says in verse 15, all of us then, not some of us, who are mature, should take such a view of things. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. What's the view, Paul? Forgetting what lays behind, reaching forward for that not yet known. It says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. He's saying to those that don't understand this, catch up. And in verse 16, he says, only let us live up to what we've already attained. So we forget what's behind, but we live up to what we've attained. We don't shrink back. So, you know, for me and Gina, practically, what we've done by God, what we birthed in the Spirit 28 years ago, what God has done in us and through us the last 28 years, we can't forget that. We've got to live true to it. We can't shrink back to being lesser leaders. We've got to live in that in which God attained for us in the season we're leaving, bringing it into the season we're coming into. His encouragement involves looking forward, not back. Behind may not be bad, but Lot's wife teaches us in Genesis 19:26 that if you keep looking back, Lot's wife, if you read about her, looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Does that mean we're going to become a pillar of salt? No, but it does mean we're going to be frozen in a moment. See, looking back quickly is gratefulness. Looking back too long will give you opportunity to return. See, the children of Israel never experienced the goodness of the promised land because they couldn't stop looking back to Egypt. Don't look back from where you've come lest you have opportunity to return. That's what the Bible says. I don't want to be a pillar of salt. Anyone else? I want to be moving forwards in everything God has for us. The fishermen that we read about in Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1:17 had to leave their boats. They had to leave their nets. They had to leave their family businesses. They had to leave everything they'd ever known to respond to one statement that Jesus had said to them, come and follow me and I will make you. Notice that there was no activation of making until there was an exiting of old. Until by faith they walked away from their family's businesses, what they'd known their whole lives since they were children. There couldn't be an experiencing of that which God had promised they would see. It's a common trend throughout Scripture. Jesus modeled this on his journey, didn't he? That he, as he was approaching the cross, it says he set his face to the cross because he knew his main purpose for being on the earth was the redemption of humanity. We pick up on this verse in Luke 9 when it says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he knew it was in Jerusalem he would be crucified. He came in the fullness of a book, never taken by surprise. It says, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. So Jesus came to a point in his ministry when he said, now it's time for the next. I've got to push go on the next. So what did he do? He turned his head. The Bible says he set his face like flint. And then he sent messengers to where he hadn't yet been, saying, get ready for me, I'm coming. He didn't say messengers behind him. He sent messengers in front of him. And that's what we do when we prophesy. We send messengers to where we're coming, but we've not yet been. That's why you've got to prophesy over your future. You've got to speak words from God's incredible living word into your future. That's like when Jesus sent messengers ahead of him. You've got to come into this year prophesying, church. Good things, not negative. Get Eeyore out of your life. You speak to some people around this point and they're like, yeah, they're like Del Boy. this time next year, Rodney, I'm going to be a millionaire. If you've not yet encountered Only Fools and Horses, grow up, you need to. And all the people over 40 said amen. Yeah. But I meet a lot of people and they're like, Eeyore, hey, are you look forward? Oh my, oh no, it's all gonna be, stop it. I cast the spirit of Eeyore out of you. I impart Tigger. Start jumping around. Start getting excited. Let Eeyore be banned and banished from the kingdom of our life. And may Tigger be let out of his cage. We're Tiggers, aren't we, Timmy? Tiggers rule. Tiggers rock. See, Nehemiah set his face to do what God had told him to do. That doesn't mean there wasn't distraction trying to pull him backwards. There's this wonderful moment you read about. So many examples throughout Scripture. But in Nehemiah 6, verse 3, it says that Nehemiah had heard about the walls that needed to be rebuilt. He'd raised the funds from kings. He'd got the wood. He'd got favour. Now he's up the wall, but he's got these enemies. You'll always have enemies to your future. The enemies of your future will try to know you and keep you in who you've been. And he had some enemies, Sambiat, Tobias. And I love his attitude. He's up the ladder, he's working, and he's got 52 days in his heart. And suddenly, Sambala and Tobias, these messengers that didn't have good in their heart for him, they come to the bottom and they say, come on down and talk to us. Come on down, let's reason together. I love it that he doesn't even look at me. He says, I can't come down. I am about a great work. Talk about giving the hand to someone. I'm not coming down. What was he saying? I've set my face to finish the assignment and task God gave me. I will not be distracted by insecurity, small-mindedness, or fear. And in 52 days, the wall was built. We need a healthy faith-based view of God's presence, providence, and provision in where we've come from, but also where we're coming into. We need thankfulness in our hearts when we look back. Not the spirit of Eeyore, but a spirit of thankfulness. Yes, there were challenges. Yes, there were storms. But wasn't God good? He brought us through. And he always will. See, we need this healthy faith-based view of God's presence, providence, and provision. Not just in where we're heading, but where we're coming from. In a few moments, we're going to take time to thank God for 2025. And then we're going to go out hooting and hollering louder than Jules Holland. We're going to have a hooting and a hollering saying, God, we know you're waiting for us with your goodness, your providence in 2026. He's the God of our yesterdays, our previous, and our last seasons. He's the God in our today and our tomorrow and the seasons not yet lived. Success comes by acknowledging two names. I'm going to unpack this for you in a few moments. The two names that we need to be thinking in this moment of crossing over is number one, Ebenezer. I'm not talking of Ebenezer Scrooge. There's another Ebenezer that's in the Bible. We need to be thinking about Ebenezer, but also thinking of Jehovah Jireh. Behind us is Ebenezer. In front of us is Jehovah Jireh. Ebenezer, which I'll explain in a few moments, is something that happened in the book of Samuel, that when they had a victory, when they'd had a winning season, it says that they would set up a stone, they would raise an Ebenezer. Like, let me say again, not Ebenezer Scrooge. That's so last week. Ebenezer was a stone that said, God, this far you've brought us, and we give you praise. There's an incredible man called James Hudson Taylor. Anybody familiar with James Hudson Taylor? Incredible man. And he was alive many years ago, and he was a missionary to China, and he founded what's still known today as China Inland Mission. Now, I've got a photo of him, if you like. We got a photo of James Hudson Taylor. There he is. 1832, 1905, incredible man of faith that had such an impact on China that the government of China came to him and said, we want to make you an ambassador for China. Do you know what his response was? Thank you so much, but your job is too small. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I love that. Now, this is what I read about him recently, and I want to share this to you because it's a secret that this old man of faith is giving to us, the people of faith alive in the 21st century. It says this of him. Two scrolls, they went through his home after he died. Two scrolls with Chinese characters graced the mantle of Hudson Taylor. They graced the table and the wall of his home. The calligrapher's playful stroke of bamboo brush dipped in lampblack ink and drops of water on Zhuan paper concealed the mastery and artistry behind the seemingly simple words. The Chinese calligraphy depicted two names. Now, this was what was on the wall of Hudson Taylor's home. Two names that reminded him of God's provision. Those names were Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh. He had no other artwork apart from these two words written in Chinese calligraphy. Ebenezer, Jehovah Jireh. These names came from 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshana and named it Ebenezer, for he said, thus far the Lord has helped us. And Genesis 22, 14. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, he shall be provided. I love this thought that this old man, Hudson Taylor, lived in the in-between of two names that defined who he was and what he'd done, but also what he was going to do next. Behind him was Ebenezer. I remember being raised in a Pentecostal church, Babs Tudor. We all remember Albert Shaw. And as a young kid, I would be there colouring in this Pentecostal church my parents had took me to. And all of a sudden, this man with a rosy face and a roar would always stand up during the time of prayer and say, oh God, I raise my Ebenezer. As a child, I'd say, what does he mean? What does he mean as I'm colouring? What is an Ebenezer? So I said to my mum, what's an Ebenezer? She was newly saved. She said, I don't know. So I think we asked Archie Biddle, who was the pastor, and he said with that glowing Devonshire face, oh, an Ebenezer is when you give thanks and you acknowledge it was God that brought you here. So that's Ebenezer. Jehovah Jireh is when we declare, you're ahead of us, God. You're our provision on the mountaintop of tomorrow. As you were Jehovah Jireh to Abraham, the patriarch of faith, so you're still Jehovah Jireh to the children of that patriarch, those who live by faith and not by sight. So we raise our Ebenezer, not Ebenezer Scrooge. We raise a monument of thanks. Thank you, Lord, that as 2025, with all its difficulties, its struggles, sometimes its apparent insanities, you were in the midst. You were good. Your providence and your provision and your protection were on me. But now also, Lord, I look to 2026. In the moment of in between, I look forward. I don't want to be frozen by looking back too long. I look forward and I say, you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who's already made provision for my next. God, if we're to start again and build from scratch, it's okay because you were there when we first did it and you will be here when we do it once more. Maybe twice more if we live long enough. Who knows? This moment of crossing over is an excellent opportunity to take a moment of inspiration from James Hudson Taylor, to raise our thanks for yesterday and then release our praise of faith for tomorrow. So I'm going to ask the praise and worship team if they would come up, because we're going to do two things together, if that's okay. We're going to do it anyway. I'm just giving you a choice politely. We're going to take a moment to thank God, to raise an Ebenezer. We're going to cast out the spirit of Eeyore the donkey. We're going to unleash the heartbeat of Tigger. We're going to say, God, through it all, even the bits that hurt, you are at work in me. Just as you were in the life of Joseph, Mordecai, and other saints of old, in moments of confusion, God is still working. All things work together for good.